Good.
Good morning.
What's the plan for Ramon when you guys break, and how long is he going to be doing stuff here, and then when can he get back?
Yeah, I think he's going to spend, I don't know if it's just short of 2 weeks here. It's the amount of time that would allow him, I think, to go out and play a 15-day rehab schedule. So
he can do that before rejoining you guys?
Yeah, he can do on a rehab, play with our affiliate, and then join us, which I think that date is May 8th, if we don't get a rain out, things of that nature.
Would he be like with Vegas, or is it?
I'm not sure yet.
Obviously, when you look ahead at this weekend, in a non-2020 year, you would have been having to get ready to have your pitchers hit going to Philadelphia. Is that kind of just a little nice bit off your shoulders as a manager, both on the sense of you don't have to worry about the pinch hitting and double switching, but also that you don't have to worry about them maybe getting hurt at the plate?
Yeah, that's well said, Alex. The injury issue has become more of a factor, I think, the velocity in the game. You know, having a pitcher who doesn't necessarily get at bats, and having him stand in and asking him to bunt off, 98 mile an hour fastballs, I can't imagine that comfortability for them. It takes away from a little bit of the gamemanship in that National League style, which is a traditional, the traditionalists probably aren't happy with that.
What do you feel like you guys can get out of opening with this kind of a road trip? It's obviously a really long road trip to start with, but is there anything that you can draw out of in terms of learning things about this team, or maybe coming together closer?
It's not the ideal road trip to start a season for any team. It's a three-city. We are in the same time zone, but you're in the Northeast down all the way down to Tampa and then all the way back up to Canada. So it's a grinding road trip. I think when we get home, we'll assess what we learned from and how we grow from it.
It's really enjoying a live session.
9:45.
That'll be his first.
His first two hitters.
Do you know how many you guys might want to see from him before?
Well, just today and see how it goes. But today's two ups, 30 pitches total, and we'll assess and then go from there.
When you look at sort of your offense, you've talked a little bit this spring about kind of trying to find an offensive identity. Do you feel like you guys have been able to do that a little bit in the spring, and if so, what do you feel like the offensive identity is?
I think you've seen us, run the bases well. Our mindset there, be aggressive, but last year I think we were one of the top teams in outs on the bases, and I think that came from the aggressiveness, but also, we're trying to just reduce that out. And again, create an offense from that standpoint of slug. We're going to have to get on base and we're going to have to extend innings. So,
obviously, there were some significant losses from the lineup in terms of slugging percent, and not only the trades but in free agency. How do you envision this lineup generating runs?
Well, I think we do have some slug in our lineup, and Kevin Smith's had a nice spring training. He's shown his ability to drive the baseball. Obviously, you've seen Sean Murphy's growth. So there's another power position you can slug. Seth Brown hit his fair share of home runs last year. He's going to get an opportunity to do that again. And we got some guys that have some track records in terms like Stephen Piscotty, a healthy Stephen Piscotty. If we get him in form and he gets back to 2018, those are really solid season. So
I know Frankie's going to do a little bit of work today to get ready for Friday. Just where do you kind of feel like he is, maybe even more mentally than he is necessarily physically at this point? Have you been able to get any gauge on that ahead of Friday?
I think Frankie's doing well. I think mentally the excitement of opening day, I think he's confident that he's earned this opportunity and looking forward to it.
Right now it looks like guessing how it's going to line up, but it looks like potentially a 9-man bullpen to start out with. But would you guys consider carrying 10? Or
I think we could. In terms of the 17 games that we're going to go, start the season with, obviously we're going to need, as much help or pitching as we can get. And that being said, if we start with a 10-man bullpen, it may help, in the long run of that stretch.
Will you guys bring like a taxi squad or anything on this?
No, there's no taxi squad. Are you looking forward to the Canada trip?
Yeah.
I think those, I don't know the specifics to the timing of when those guys, obviously they can't go with us leaving Tampa to Toronto if we have unvaxxed players, and I don't know on our roster who those guys are.
Okay. I'm looking at the lineup today. Obviously, Tinder being in the leadoff spot, I don't know if that's more just to get him advanced in the last game or if that's something you could look at to do like in the season against the lefty.
I think we're going to look at all options for sure, and this is one of them. So, Chad's history with, his success against left-handed pitching, getting him up there as many times as possible. So this is an option.
Where do you feel, obviously it's spring, so you don't know for sure, but where do you feel like in terms of just managing your bullpen, kind of managing pitchers and how you go about, making sure guys are ready, how do you kind of feel at this point as a manager looking ahead to Friday in that regard?
Yeah, ultimately we've got a lot of guys in that bullpen that are going to be first-timers. And, for me, the goal is to get these guys the best opportunity to come into a game, get their feet on the ground, have success, give them their best matchups for that success. And so, as we get into this, I think I'll be a lot more comfortable and relaxed about it, and the guys will start earning their roles. But, starting out now, it's definitely, there's obviously some anxiety about just doing it for the first time, but I've got a guy sitting next to me that's done it for 5 years. So there's, going to be some, obviously, discussions that will happen. And Scott Emerson's been doing this for a long time as well. So there's experience here outside of just my experience in the game and managing it from, outside of this seat, thinking I can do this. And,
I feel like the league is going to allow that PitchCom technology, the sign, like earpiece stuff during the season.
We got a notice today. I just don't. I haven't dove into all the details of it.
Do you have any thoughts one way or the other on just that kind of?
We've used it this spring training, and the guys seem to like it. So if we're there comfortable with it, I can see us, utilizing it going forward.
We talked to Dalton a little bit about it. Do you know who the other pitchers are who at least tried it out for you?
I don't know off the top of my head. I know we've used it a few times, though. I know Murphy seems to like it. Okay. So as long as he likes it and he's the one using it, I do think that there's a value to it, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about the specifics of the PitchCom in terms of how many devices and who gets to use them. Oh, know the specifics?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so we're one short, really, if you think about it, because your pitcher, your catcher, and then only three of the four infielders have it. So if the device allows you to call picks, it allows you, it can even be programmed to call your bunt defense, so you're not saying, your first and third defense plays, definitely has that capability. The problem is, if we're calling a bunt defense and the first baseman's not wearing the earpiece, he doesn't know what bunt defense we're running, right? So we're one earpiece short of being able to just go no signs, and we'd have to obviously have to you know, tell Murph what we want to do. But I think there's value to it. I mean, it seemed like the pitchers, the speed, they literally catch the ball, throw it back, can call a pitch, look up, and he can shake the pitch even before he's on the mound, right? And now he just calls another pitch. And so I think there's going to be – I think this is actually going to be a successful device.
Yeah, it can do multiple things to help the game, not just the sign stealing, but the pace of the game.
I think so. I really do. And then the pitcher has time to process even before he's on the rubber. He's not looking in for a sign, shaking, and now they're going through multiple sequences, you know, especially with run on second. You know, if they're on the same page in terms of timing and the more comfortable I think they get with it, like, they can call a pitch immediately.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, and then the pitcher processes the pitch. Like, now maybe he gets some more conviction to the pitch as opposed to, like, you know,
right,
where he's on the rubber already engaged. So,
do you need to relay sounds to the catcher in that case, or do you guys have a way to send it to you?
Catchers call the pitches. All catchers at this level are calling the game. Yeah. I mean,
it's the other calls that you might relay.
Like just the bunt defenses in the first and third plays. Yeah, where we're going with the baseball with, you know, double steal and those situations. Like, those are still signs that are going to have to be relayed. But the speed of that is on us, really, like, getting to communicate. So, yeah. And I never did think I'd be a proponent of it. I really didn't. In the beginning, I just was so unsure about how it would work. So, and now that we've used the device, I'm actually on board with it.
Try it and see how it works.
Yeah. Good.
I hope you know that. Just, it's not for.
Okay.